Hey everyone, it's Faraz Siddiqui. Welcome back to the show. Really appreciate you tuning in. We're talking 2024 NFL Draft wide receiver prospects, and we're also going to dive into which one of these prospects can fit the Buffalo Bills and be paired with Josh Allen. Who fits them the best? Let's get into it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You want the upper hand in your fantasy football leagues? Then you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
This is one of the deepest wide receiver classes we have seen in a while. There are so many wide receivers who can become fantasy relevant, and we have a few potential superstars at the position as well. And the gap between them might not be as big as you think. I'll be going over the top 12 wide receivers who we're projecting to go off the board first in the 2024 NFL Draft. And at the very end, I talk about which wide receiver I think the Bills can land to lessen the blow of losing Stephon Diggs. Let's start with this first tier that consists of three wide receivers. The one guy that literally checks all the boxes is Marvin Harrison Jr. If I'm going to bet on one wide receiver between Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze, it's Marvin Harrison, and here's why. All three of these guys have the ability to be alpha wide receivers in the NFL, but Marvin's production profile and efficiency profile is on a different level. Now, before we get into the numbers, the route running is top-notch, elite, against any coverage, elite separation skills. He doesn't have many holes in his game. He is pro-ready as that X receiver at the next level. He can create separation straight off the line for short routes. He has that short area quickness. He can work intermediate. He can work down the field. I think the only negative with Harrison is that he didn't show much after the catch ability. His missed tackle rate after the catch and just overall yards after the catch was pretty low among the other wide receivers in this class. But hey, like when you're separating the way he does, I don't really care. You know, it's just worth noting that he isn't going to give you anywhere near the after the catch plays like Nabers will or even Rome Odunze will, to be honest. Now, the numbers I alluded to, he was a perimeter wide receiver on 84% of his career snaps. He had a 39% career dominator rating, which is the highest in this class. He was targeted on 31% of his routes throughout his career, which is highest in this class. He damn near had a 30% target share over three seasons, highest in this class. And these two stats combined is a pretty good indicator of him dominating at the next level. 13.7% of his career routes resulted in him getting a first down. That was the highest in this class. And his combined 2.98 yards per route run, highest in this class as well, fell into the 97th percentile among all qualifying Power 5 wide receivers over the last 10 years. Marvin Harrison Jr. can't miss. When talking about Malik Nabers, the first thing that stands out is the fact that he mostly played out of the slot. But just like Malik Nabers, Justin Jefferson also ran out of the slot at LSU. So let's not ding Nabers for that. When he did play outside, when he ran against press, he was just fine. His athleticism, his explosiveness pops off the screen when you watch him. He's so smooth. He's a straight up playmaker, regardless of where he lines up and what kind of coverage he sees. A lot of stuff down the field for Nabers, but I can totally see him working a lot more underneath an intermediate to kind of take advantage of his entire skill set. Now, would it be ideal if he's a slot or flanker at the next level? Yeah, I think so. And after the catch, this dude is a beast. He made guys miss on 31% of his receptions. That was the highest in this class and falls into the 98th percentile of qualifying Power 5 wide receivers over the last 10 seasons. More on his overall profile, he broke out at 19 years old. He led all the Power 5 wide receivers in this class in career receiving yards per team pass attempt. And again, this combination that I'm about to tell you right now is very important. He was second only behind Marvin Harrison in first downs per route run and career yards per route run. The latter in the 96th percentile among qualifying Power 5 wide receivers over the last 10 years. And by the way, Neighbors had the 15th most career receiving yards among more than 2,000 eligible Power 5 wide receivers over the last 10 seasons. That falls into the 99th percentile during that span. There's a very good chance Neighbors is a fantasy wide receiver one very soon. The last wide receiver in this first tier is Rome Odunze, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's the best wide receiver in this class when it's all said and done. Any of these three can take that throne at some point. He's the biggest of the three, and the fact that he's such a polished route runner at his size, and then you combine his ball skills and contested catchability with that, you got yourself a serious alpha X wide receiver and a fantasy wide receiver one on your hands. He had a 75% contested catch rate last year alone on 28 contested targets. And no, he is not the non-separating contested catch guy. Okay, if his quarterback is accurate and on time, he won't be needing to use that part of his game a whole lot because he is a separator. But it's good to know that he has that in his back pocket if he needs it. And when you look at Matt Harmon's reception perception profile on Odunze, you go, wow. Like, he has all the tools you need to succeed, and his route variety and success is ridiculously intriguing. Now, if we're really nitpicking, Odunze's production profile isn't as impressive as the other two guys in his tier. It is worth noting that Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers both had their big years in their sophomore and junior years, while Odunze's big years were his junior and senior years. His 2.5 career yards per route run is not in the same tier as the other two, but 91st percentile over the last 10 years, still pretty damn good, still relatively exceptional, right? You combine that with the near the top of the class, 11.4% first downs per route run, which while isn't the level of the other two guys, we're talking 94th percentile still over the last 10 years. He can very well be the wide receiver one in so many other draft classes, maybe even this one. He can even end up being the wide receiver one in this draft class when it's all said and done. But there's no doubt we have three very exciting wide receivers, potentially all gone within the top 10 picks of the NFL draft. Before I move on, I may have touched on some terms you might be new to, and I might as well take this time out as well to talk about draft capital when it comes to fantasy wide receivers. Here are a few terms and a few draft capital hit rates that will help you better project which wide receivers will succeed at the next level. What do we mean when we talk about dominator rating? This is the percentage of a team's offensive output a player is responsible for. So when we say Marvin Harrison Jr. had a 39% career dominator rating, that means 39% of his team's offensive output during his career can be credited to him, which is kind of insane. Sometimes we use a player's best year dominator rating combined with their career dominator rating to get a better idea of their entire profile. What do we mean when we talk about breakout age? This is the age at which a receiver accounted for at least 20% of a team's offensive output in a particular year, which means he would have had at least a 20% dominator rating that year. So if a wide receiver accounts for 20% of his team's offensive output for the first time in their career, the age at which they do that is their breakout age. There is a correlation between breakout age at a young age and draft capital translating to fantasy success. Breaking out as a freshman at 18 years old or breaking out at 19 years old like Malik Nabers did is very impressive. And then on top of that, you get first round draft capital. Those guys end up doing pretty well for the most part, right? These guys should get a bump because of it. There is one wide receiver in this draft class who broke out at 18 years old and even hit a 30% dominator rating that year in the Power 5. We'll get to him shortly. I also mentioned yards per route run and something new that is being talked about a lot more this year, first downs per route run, mainly introduced and made popular by Fantasy Points' Ryan Heath. two stats that are relatively sticky when it comes to wide receiver production. Two stats that we want to use together to know, to kind of get an idea of which wide receivers are not just big play merchants, but also are used to move the chains. This is the type of wide receiver that usually gets it done for fantasy on a consistent basis. Now, as far as draft capital goes, long story short, the first round and second round is where it's at. Fantasy Life's Dwayne McFarland broke this down for wide receivers, and he'll be on the show next week to talk more about this. But 47% of first round wide receivers drafted between 2011 and 2020 have finished as a top 24 wide receiver at least once in their first three seasons, with 24% of them finishing as a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. Those numbers go down to 41% and 18% for wide receivers taken in the second round, and all those numbers go up slightly for wide receivers taken early in the first round. When you get to the third round, those rates drop dramatically to 21% of those wide receivers hitting a top 24 season in their first 3 years. After that, it gets bleak. The chances that it happens after that is pretty low, so keep that in mind, right? You're going to have your Amon-Ra's, right? He was drafted in the fourth round, and this deep class can have a hit or two, but it's good to understand these historical hit rates when planning for our rookie drafts. If you're interested in learning more about all that and want to get even more in-depth with rankings and rookie mock drafts with these wide receivers, check out my rookie draft kit at upperhandfantasy.com. We profile more than 60 rookies in this class. We have 9 grades per player. We have blurbs for each of these players with fantasy targets and avoids, and it's designed to help you dominate rookie drafts and to determine which of these wide receivers can potentially provide the most fantasy value. I had the link in the description if you need it. Now, this next tier is tough. Brian Thomas Jr. is the consensus wide receiver 4, and he's definitely in this next tier for me. He's either my wide receiver 4 or wide receiver 5 in this class. His 2023 season was awesome. He was a perimeter wide receiver running alongside Malik Nabers, but there was no question who the superstar on offense was. That was clearly Nabers. There was no question on who had the route diversity and who had the true separation skills on various routes. That was Nabers. Now, there was also no question who had that deep separating ability on the perimeter against press coverage, and that was Brian Thomas Jr. He's big. He is blazing fast. He ran a 4.33 at the NFL Combine. He is an athletic freak, and there's no question about his vertical prowess. He has better average contested catch ability than a lot of these wide receivers in this draft class. His 2023 season leading college football with 17 touchdowns, along with his nearly 1,200 yards. Awesome. He even had some after the catch ability as well. When targeted, he helped produce a 148.8 career quarterback passer rating through his career, which is nearly perfect, right? That tells you the big plays this guy was involved in. But it was 1 year of production, which leads me to having to talk about his overall production profile not quite being there. His 1.95 career yards per route run is near the bottom of this class. His first downs per route run, near the bottom of this class. His targets per route run, near the bottom of this class. But you watch this dude and you see the potential, and it's not like he's not separating on the routes that he's being asked to run the most. He's still young. He's still a freak. He can be an elite field stretcher who can come up with contested catches right now. He just needs to get the right development to stack onto his skill set. He would need to add to his route tree in order to become a more balanced wide receiver, along with some added route running technique to truly reach that ceiling. Like Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell also falls into that bad overall production profile, but damn, I can't get over what I'm seeing when I watch him category. And I think he's closer to a finished product than Brian Thomas Jr. is at this point. I think there's a higher chance A.D. Mitchell comes in and earns more targets on day one because of the fact that he can simply do more right now. He can separate at a high level. And despite his teammate Xavier Worthy being more productive, I think Mitchell is the prospect that will attract more NFL teams, despite the fact that Worthy broke the 40 record at the Combine. The thing is, the athleticism that A.D. Mitchell displayed at the Combine, including running a 4.34 40 at 6'2", 205, might be more impressive than Worthy running a 4.21 at 5'11", 165. You know, it's obviously impressive as well, but just saying. Mitchell has smoothness in his routes. He has variety in his route tree and in his release package. I think the consistency of his route running and effort that might not have been there at times in college will come at the next level when he's actually be, hopefully, forced to give it 100% on all of his routes. He has a large catch radius. He's in an end zone threat. He has the chops to be productive at all levels of the field, despite the fact that he was mainly used as Texas's downfield X receiver, while Xavier Worthy did a lot of the short to intermediate stuff. Now, there was some body catching here and there when I watched Mitchell. He didn't do much after the catch either. He did have one of the lowest yards after the catch and missed tackles forced on paper in this class. And that's probably a good segue into his lacking production profile, right? He broke out at 21 years old, not ideal. He did have a 32% dominator rating, which is nice to see, but career yards per route run, one of the worst in this class. First downs per route run, not great. Career targets per route run and target share, not ideal. I will say his quarterback play was bad, and it tends to matter more for guys, you know, running downfield like AD than it was for guys getting target closer to the line of scrimmage like Xavier Worthy. Overall, I like AD Mitchell coming in, and despite the bad production profile, I think he will be a productive NFL and fantasy receiver, and I think he could be a value in dynasty rookie drafts despite potentially getting that first-round draft capital. Now, this wide receiver might be the safest wide receiver after the big three in this year's NFL draft. Ladd McConkey is someone I saw firsthand at the Senior Bowl. He was separating with ease, very smooth in and out of his breaks. He demonstrated his ability to create leverage against DBs in man coverage. And then I further watched more afterwards, and my bias seems to have been confirmed for the most part. He did his thing at the combine as well, demonstrated that he's a plus athlete on top of that route running ability against man, understanding where to be in soft spots against zone. He's a pretty versatile receiver. You look at the production profile, it's not good. He never broke out. His 13% career dominator rating was terrible. In terms of counting stats, overall pretty bad because he had some injury issues. There are some things on paper working against him, but when he was on the field, he acted like a productive alpha wide receiver. McConkey was only behind Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers in career first downs per route run in this class, and was only behind those two guys and Troy Franklin in career yards per route run. He falls into the 92nd percentile among qualifying Power 5 wide receivers over the last 10 seasons in that stat. Now, he might not be an X receiver, but I think he would be an extremely productive flanker, someone who doesn't necessarily have to see a whole lot of press coverage. He's very good after the catch. He knows how to make guys miss tackles with the ball in his hands, and I think McConkey can make an instant impact as a chain mover near the end of the first round of the NFL draft, maybe early second. And like I mentioned in my rookie draft kit, I'm definitely going to be targeting him in rookie drafts and for this upcoming season, depending on his landing spot. One of the most difficult wide receivers for me to grade and rank was Xavier Worthy. Here's why. Production profile, very good. Broke out at 18 years old at Texas as a true freshman. And to break out, you only need to hit 20% of your team's offensive production. This dude went above the 30% threshold, which is extremely impressive at that age. His 2.3 career receiving yards per team pass attempt was only behind Malik Nabers among this class's Power 5 wide receivers, and his 28% career target share was only behind Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, his career yards per route run and first downs per route run were closer to the middle of this class, which gets us to the way he was used at Texas. A lot of motion, a lot of screens, and then he was successful at the deep ball, mostly because of his speed on free releases, opposed to really separating against tight man coverage. I'm not saying he isn't a great route runner. I think he is a good route runner. He has good route running chops. But overall, when he was in tight man coverage, it wasn't great. Worthy was not too successful in contested catch situations, which leads me to his size at 5'11", 165. There are many times where he gets thrown off his route. He gets bodied enough where he can't come down with those contested catches. So that could be an issue at the next level, limiting his exposure of making plays in the middle of the field. When you talk about other smaller wide receivers like Devontae Smith and Tank Dell, they didn't have these issues as glaring as it was to me for Xavier Worthy, and there were also better separators as well against man coverage. I think he's going to have to land on a team that is creative enough to be able to use him properly and take advantage of his speed and athleticism. He did lead this class in career yards after the catch per reception, so I do think his landing spot is a lot more important than it is for other wide receivers in this class. But the fact that he has shown the chops to be able to get it done close to the line of scrimmage and deep down the field gives him enough versatility to target him in rookie drafts. After a rough NFL combine, this wide receiver will need to prove the doubters wrong despite dominating in college. Troy Franklin is bigger than Xavier Worthy, but isn't the athlete Worthy is. And Franklin, not running a faster 40 time at 176 pounds, might have a few NFL teams question whether it's worth bringing him in with his frame without a complete skill set. Now, he's a true field stretcher, but if he lets defenders continue to take advantage of him in tight coverage, especially in the middle of the field, it can cause problems. Free releases with space, no problem, right? He tracks the ball better than most. There's no question that he was an extremely productive college wide receiver. I think there is some, you know, route diversity that he'll need to add to his tool belt if he's going to be a more consistent wide receiver and not just a boom bust wide receiver for fantasy. Now on paper, and you can see this in our rookie draft kit grading, that thing looks pretty good, okay? His 2.63 yards per route run was third highest behind Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. First downs per route run, fourth highest behind those two guys and Ladd McConkey. And he broke out early at 19 years old. The production profile is pretty solid for Troy Franklin, but does he translate to being a target earner at the next level? Maybe if he adds some more versatility to his game, landing spot is likely going to matter a ton for Troy Franklin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We have two slot wide receivers who will likely be drafted on day two, and that's Ricky Pearsall and Roman Wilson. I really liked what I saw out of both Ricky Pearsall and Roman Wilson at the Senior Bowl. And you look at the production profiles and you're like, okay, despite both of them being relatively late producers, Roman Wilson looks like he has the edge among these two. 2.33 career yards per route run, 37% career dominator rating, pretty good. Ricky Pearsall, only 1.99 yards per route run and 26% career dominator rating. But then you look a little deeper. You start to watch a little bit more of these guys. You realize Pearsall is a way better athlete. He's bigger than Wilson. And he has a little bit more versatility to his game in terms of him winning at all levels of the field. He's really crafty underneath, and you also see him winning on intermediate and deep routes compared to Wilson, who mostly depended on targets deeper down the field. You saw the deep stuff with Anthony Richardson at Florida with Pearsall, and then you saw him win underneath more once Richardson left. And I think he's more versatile and is able to play that flanker role, something that Roman Wilson might not be able to do. Maybe he might be limited to that slot role. I don't think that Pearsall necessarily needs to be locked into the slot like Roman Wilson might have to be. Both guys are good route runners. They can both produce after the catch, but I have to give the edge to Pearsall here, despite the fact that he's not necessarily a tackle breaker. If you look further into their production profiles, you realize that Pearsall also broke out 2 years earlier than Wilson and produced 1.6 receiving yards per team pass attempt over his career compared to Wilson's 1.3. If you're looking for that slot wide receiver who could get peppered with targets, I think Pearsall can potentially be that PPR gem in the second round of rookie drafts. There's always that non-separating contested catch wide receiver in every draft class, and I think this year's candidate is Keon Coleman. There's a lot of buzz around him going in the first round, but I'm not sure if he's going to come through on that price. I would suggest throwing on some Keon Coleman highlight tapes because he has made some sick catches during his time at Michigan State and Florida State, and he can definitely be a good red zone weapon. But I think he lacks diversity in his route tree, and he lacks true separation on his routes. I think excuses can be made for him. Bad QB play, a lot of options on offense, but you look at the production profile outside of his 19-year-old breakout age and 30% career dominator rating, both big positives for Coleman, by the way. But then 1.87 yards per route run and 8.5% first down rate, both near the bottom of this class. And then you look at Matt Harmon's reception perception profile on Coleman, and it kind of confirms my preconceived notion of Coleman being a contested catch merchant. But if you're talking hands, he's one of the most sure-handed with only a 2.7% career drop rate, which is one of the lowest in this class. But is he a first-round talent as the X receiver he was in college? I don't think so. But with a role switch at the next level with a better quarterback, he could outproduce my projection, especially because he's an underclassman. He's still very young. He still has time to develop, but I don't think he's a finished product right now, and he's also not the best pure athlete among this wide receiver class. I watched Xavier Leggett at the Senior Bowl firsthand, and while he didn't have the best first day of practice, he bounced back big time on day two and day three. He had some dominating routes against these high-end corners at the Senior Bowl. He's 6'1", 221 pounds, and ran a 4.39 40. He dominated in 2023 with more than 1,200 receiving yards, but he did that in his fifth year after combining for only 423 receiving yards up until that point as a super senior. When you're that big at 23 years old against 19-year-old corners, right? Like, you can see why they can raise some eyebrows, right? But his 3.15 yards per route run last year was top seven among all Power 5 wide receivers in this class. And then when you look at the totality of his career, his combined career yards per route run and first downs per route run was the worst in this class. But you look at his ability. He has impressive after the catch ability at his size. He can dominate at the point of the catch, big catch radius. He's blazing fast, but he still needs some refinement in his route running and release package, right? But he's older and he's raw, and that isn't always the best combination. He's an exciting player who I'd love to see succeed, but on paper, he isn't necessarily a good bet to come through for fantasy purposes, and if he does, he would be an outlier. Shifting gears to an obvious clear landing spot that would propel any rookie's fantasy value, and that's landing with the Bills after they traded away Stephon Diggs, paired with Josh Allen. I do think Khalil Shakir is a solid slot wide receiver. I don't think he proved that he can earn targets just yet, with 2 years already under his belt. I do think Curtis Samuel is a very good flank and wide receiver. I think he's been underutilized in his career, and the fact that he can reunite with the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, who he had his best year under, is a great thing. But there is still a clear vacancy for a true wide receiver one spot in this offense. Now, the Bills have picked 28 at the end of the first round and picked 60 at the end of the second round without any third round pick as of right now. At the end of the first, I doubt Brian Thomas Jr. will be there, so the potential wide receivers in that range can be A.D. Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, and Xavier Worthy. And then you have Ladd McConkey if they want to trade down a few picks maybe into the second round. But if they stick to picking a wide receiver at 28 or maybe want to trade up just a bit, I want to eliminate Troy Franklin and Worthy off the bat because I think their skill sets are similar to what Curtis Samuel brings to the table. Can they be a better version of what Curtis Samuel brings to the table as that Z receiver with more speed? Sure, maybe. But I think they want to bring in what they're missing, and that's that X receiver mold. That brings us to A.D. Mitchell and Keon Coleman. And I think A.D. Mitchell is the guy who I think would absolutely go off if he lands in Buffalo. I also like him as a prospect. He's a good separator, good route runner, and might need a little development. But Keon Coleman is someone I think needs even more development, isn't a separator right now, and someone who really depends on his hands and ridiculous ball skills in contested situations. Unless you want another Gabe Davis, maybe you avoid drafting Keon Coleman. Now, if the Bills want to reach for McConkey, I have no problem with it. I do think he's a first-round wide receiver talent, even though he's projected to go early second. Can he have some issues playing the X receiver role? Maybe, but I don't necessarily think he needs to stick in that role all game long, right? They can move him around. He has enough route running and separation ability to be very productive in this offense, and I'd be all over him if he ends up with Josh Allen. That's going to do it for this episode, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you haven't subscribed to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it means so much if you could do that, and it'll really help us improve the way we record and how often we record moving forward. Don't forget to check out our rookie draft kit. It's being updated frequently and will definitely be updated once again after the draft with landing spots and added analysis. You can check that out at upperhandfantasy.com.